You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Matt Nagy is meeting the media right now on a Zoom call, Yurko, and this is a good transition into what we were about to talk about to kick things off this hour, and that's Nagy and his play calling, and should he still be calling the plays during the game for the Bears? I see JD tweeted, Matt Nagy on whether he'll continue to call plays, quote, I'm looking at all of that right now, close quote. So I don't know what kind of answer that is. I mean, I can't tell if that's like not completely ruling it out, if he's just saying that to placate everybody. Maybe he really is giving that some serious thought. And who's going to do it? Bill Lazor? Bill Lazor was out of the NFL last year. John DeFilippo? John DeFilippo's on what, his third team in 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't wait to fire him in Minnesota.
Right.
They didn't fire him in the middle of the year. That's right. They fired him in the middle of the year. Mike Zimmer goes, this was a mistake. Bye. I guess you've got the Dave Ragone.
No, you're not even halfway there yet. What about the great Juan Castillo?
Oh, stop it.
Save this offensive line. Juan Castillo has got to have the magic it takes to do the play calling.
I mean, look at the options. One guy was out of the NFL last year. One guy was fired before the season was over. He's on his third team in 3 years. Well, Dave Ragone, I mean, I don't know. I can't say too many bad things about that. I don't mean to say bad things about any of them, but I mean, these are your options. And we somehow think it's not going to be better.
Well, if you're a head coach, why would you bring anybody in smarter than you? If you want to survive, right? If you're the guy in charge, you make sure everybody you hire has got no chance whatsoever of threatening your job.
Talk about a last-ditch effort here. I mean, what does it say? If he were to surrender play-calling duties now, it's why he was brought here.
Okay, Carm.
It is like the only thing. It's you went out and got Matt Nagy because he was supposed to be there for your young quarterback and this offense. And he's failed on both fronts.
You change play callers. Okay, you do that. He's still got to call plays with this offensive line.
I know.
He's still got to call plays with Jimmy Graham not wanting to block anybody.
He's still got to call plays with Anthony Miller fumbling, you know,
right.
and not being able to hold on to balls. Yeah. And then...
Is Montgomery fumbled too?
Montgomery fumbled the other day too. It hadn't been as much of a problem with him, but yes, he had a costly fumble yesterday. I mean, when it rains, it pours, man.
We were victimized by the peanut punch.
Yes, absolutely.
That's where you got victimized.
You got peanut punched.
I just kind of laughed, you know, when I saw it. I said, he just got peanut punched. Look at that.
That's exactly what happened.
That's the way it goes.
But the truth
comes back to haunt you.
The truth is, and I'm with you, I don't think it's going to be a solution if Matt Nagy gives up play calling because the personnel right now is a problem, is almost... You know, it may be a bigger issue than any of the play calling that actually is going on during the games. But the reality is, too, Matt Nagy has shown an inability to really get into a rhythm as a play caller.
At all.
Even in his best year, you always scratched your head and said, you know what, like, I think you've talked about this multiple times, Yurko. There's no counters off of anything he runs.
Right.
Like, you know, I mean, I learned this, like, playing video games long ago.
Right. Nothing compliments.
Yeah, because you know what? You want to keep your opponent off balance. More than anything else, that's what you're trying to do as a good play caller, right, is to make the defense have more issues. And then hopefully your talent can execute the plays. But he's not even doing that. He's not even putting them in positions where they have a chance to succeed.
You want them to have a hint of hesitancy. You want them to play off the back foot, like something's going to happen. It's going to be big, and I've got to be very cautious. You make a team play cautiously, then you've got the advantage.
Bears were 2 of 15 on third down. 2 of 15.
Not good.
Now, maybe he was slowed by his groin injury, but at least he was on the field a lot. 47% of the snaps for Cole Kmet. You know how many targets yesterday, Yurko, for Cole Kmet?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah. I watched the game. It was zero. I kept looking for it. I rewatched it this morning. Zero targets. I don't know. The other kid didn't play much at all. 86?
No, not at all. He played like 5 snaps, I think.
Yeah, he didn't play much at all. And Jimmy Graham, he had some targets and he made some catches, which is what you brought him here to do. But boy, they should isolate. And I saw one yesterday on Twitter where they isolated on his effort. And he basically just escorted the defensive lineman to the quarterback. Well, you're off track this way. Come on, let's go. I'll run with
you're
you.
Off track.
I'll run with you. You're off track. Quarterback's over here. He's running a little bit of a fake boot. Get over here. Don't follow the run. Come with me. We'll go straight to the quarterback.
This is a Titans defense that has not pressured the quarterback much at all this year. We told you, just 7 sacks going into the ball game. 7 all year. They had 3 yesterday. They hit the quarterback 9 times. Yep. Bears also had 3 sacks. Boy, Robert Quinn has given the Bears absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
8 games. He has 1 sack, 2 quarterback hits, and 0 TFLs, boys. You want, just for bleeps and giggles, you want Leonard Floyd's line for the year? Not that I think Leonard Floyd.
He's got at least 5 sacks.
He's got 4 sacks, 10 quarterback hits, and 6 TFLs. That is so Bears, isn't it?
It is.
And again, I'm not saying that because I think that Leonard Floyd should have been here, but
they didn't play yesterday.
They're on bye this week.
They
only have 4 sacks because I just looked at his stats before the week.
That's what I said. He's got 4 sacks.
Okay, there you go.
4 sacks, 10 quarterback hits, 6 TFLs. That's Leonard Floyd's line this year. And again, I'm not saying they should have kept Leonard Floyd. I don't think they should have. I think that was a bad draft pick. But that is so Bears, isn't it?
Yeah.
You
get him injured.
You get the guy that you spent, what, they gave him $30 million guaranteed. He's injured.
He couldn't play in the first game.
He's played 8 games. He's got 2 quarterback hits.
How about
no TFLs.
How about every first-round draft pick that Ryan Pace makes is so woefully bad, there's not even a hesitation. You know you can't pick up their option.
It's amazing.
Roquan's
going to be the only one. I mean, they'll pick up Roquan.
Right.
We think.
Stop it.
Oh, no. Roquan's terrific.
I know he's, but I'm just saying, like, think about that. Kevin White, Mitch Trubisky.
This guy.
Leonard Floyd. I mean, that's
top 10. They were all in the top 10.
And you can't pick up their
options. Fifth-year option, which is a gift to the franchise.
Yes,
it is.
It is
a gift. The players got screwed in the last collective bargaining agreement with that nonsense. And they can't get a top 10 pick to the option year. That's how bad it is.
It's pitiful, Carm. Pitiful.
Leonard Floyd.
Carm, before you go to
Leonard
the...
Leonard Floyd's got 4 sacks and 10 quarterback hits.
Did you update that Dave Montgomery has a concussion?
Well, that was yesterday, yeah. Montgomery is in protocol, right?
Okay, and Sherrick McManus has a broken index finger.
Oh, boy, okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, probably
might help you catch
I don't know if you said this
better.
And when you're talking about Matt Nagy, he said if he gives up play calling, you won't know it.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, wait, it's got to be a big secret? What?
No, I'd know it because he'd be there with his chart, taking his little red pen and saying, okay, I called this, and then tomorrow I'll figure out why I called it.
What the hell does that mean?
Well, I don't know. I guess, well,
that
how would
sounds
we
like
know?
He's not giving up play calling.
Right. I agree. That sounds like he's not going to do it at all.
I don't, guys, I'm telling you, if I'm Matt Nagy, I wouldn't either. I just don't know.
How about this?
I think it's waving the white flag.
They'll go with a longer process. The guy will call it up there. He'll give it to Matt. Matt will call it in.
It's amazing.
We'll go even with a longer process of trying to figure out what the hell to call.
Melvin's in Gary. What's going on, Melvin?
Yes, how do you guys do? I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I was trying to ask, as far as defensive players, here's a guy 300 pounds jumping up in the air to try to block a pass. And I guess he's supposed to freeze to see if the quarterback is going to throw the ball or hang on to it or try to go around him or what. I mean, they're taking all of the things out of football they're supposed to be. How can you tackle somebody? The average player you see out there on defense, he's not trying to take his both hands and grab a player, wrap him up and tackle him. They're throwing their bodies all over the field. The man step right over him, jump over him, keep going. And these dumb penalties, I mean, holding. See a guy catch the ball. And they're trying to knock somebody's head off.
Eddie Jackson. Really, I think I know what you're talking about specifically, Melvin.
Yeah,
probably
know the Eddie Jackson.
The long gain in the first. I think that was still in the first quarter where they got down before they kicked their first field goal. The long completion to AJ Brown, right?
Yeah. Where what was Eddie Jackson doing?
He was going for the ball, I guess.
That's one where he's going across the middle. Eddie Jackson's got him, stops him. He retraces his steps and ends up down the right sideline after it looked like he was going to go across the field. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the play. I don't know what Eddie Jackson was doing in that play.
You gotta tackle him. You gotta tackle him.
I'm clueless. That was an extra 23 yards, I think.
And Eddie is one of the top paid safeties in the league for
yes,
a reason.
He is.
And if it were an isolated incident, I'd say, well, okay, he had a bad play. It happens once a game at least. You're a top safety in this league. At least that's what we're told. You're paid like it. You got to make those plays.
And it
happens too often. It's at least once a week we're talking about an Eddie Jackson missed tackle.
Yeah, and the big touchdown play that they ran down the left sidelines, you've watched over the course of time, and if there's a defensive back that played a little college or pro football out there, you can't wind up to put your arm in the middle, you know, where the catch point is, the junction there. You can't rock your arm back and throw it in there. What you've got to do is have it there and then extend your arm and throw it in there. If you look, Buster Skrines on that specific play that they got the touchdown down, he's there. He's got great coverage.
He's got good coverage right here.
And now he's seen maybe he's going for the catch. You can't. Look what he does. He takes that right arm back, and now he's going to throw it in with force. And in the process of doing that, he's too late.
All right,
and he can't get to the ball. Take a look at what I'm talking
technique.
About.
Okay.
And if there's any other defensive tacks, defensive backs out there, take a look at it and tell me if I'm right. Okay? You're there. You extend the arm right into it. You don't rock your arm back like you're going to cock it and then throw it forward. In the process of doing that, he couldn't make the play. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the small things.
Right, the little things.
The tackling. Yeah. It's the tiny things that end up getting you killed.
Yeah.
That's what it does. Corduroy Patterson, on a play where he's scrambling late, he's not at the first down marker. Allen Robinson, not at the first down marker. All these things put you in those third and crappy situations where you got Madeline Albright and you got the other kid that's playing center and you've got the stone feet, Tony Soprano concrete shoes on, and can't move and leans forward and isn't worth anything at times, that Mfetti kid.
I mean, on the fourth down play and on their first possession when they went for it on fourth and one, I mean, Jermaine Effetti's been in this league a long time. He was a first
down
pick.
Head?
He ducked his head. I mean, listen, I could tell you that that's back tech. You don't even need Yurko to tell you. I could look at that and go, what?
C'est la vie.
Ducked his head.
Close your eyes.
That's what he did.
Your head. You might as well close your eyes. Up over the top, and he ended up getting penetration and killing the play.
How dare anybody blame David Montgomery? Are you kidding?
Oh, no, that's it. They want to blame the running back. There's not a running back in the league that can run behind this offensive line, period. You name them, you bring them here, they will not be able to run behind this offensive
line. Fourth and one, you're going to keep a drive alive. Montgomery's actually thrived in these situations, fourth and short. And a former first-round pick does that. He puts his head down, he closes his eyes. I mean, he didn't get a single piece of the guy. And the defensive players in the backfield waiting for David Montgomery.
He whiffed.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Kevin's in Elmhurst. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So, hoping Nagy gets fired, I was wondering what you guys think about possibly Harbaugh coming over from Michigan.
No! You don't fail up in the world.
Thanks,
you
Kevin.
You don't fail at Michigan and then get an NFL job. No to Jim Harbaugh. Absolutely not. You do not fail up in this world.
My problem with Harbaugh is the shelf life is too short. You know, he just is. It's especially in the NFL, he just wears on you. I don't think he's getting fired from Michigan. Every time, you know, you talk to people that whether it's people that are sort of closely connected to the program or the journalists that do this for a living. I know we've asked Teddy G over the years about it. They all say the same thing. They're like, guys, he ain't getting fired from Michigan. He's never getting fired. I don't know. I mean, you're losing to Indiana. And Indiana's different. Tom Allen's had them trending in a good direction for the last couple of years. This Penix kid can play a little bit. I mean, he's good. Yeah. And Tom Allen's had them trending in a better direction. They're a top-ranked team now. You know, they're a top 25 team. They haven't lost to Indiana since 1987, guys. 87. And they were getting kind of whooped in that game for the most part, weren't they?
They weren't competitive.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, Merck. I mean, for the first half of that game, like, they weren't competitive. But everybody says that knows that program, Harbaugh ain't never getting fired.
What?
Stay with the best football, collegiate football teams, Indiana.
Now, listen, hear me out. I think he's got his program turned around down at U of I. What do you guys think about Lovie Smith?
You know, think about the mess they've had since they fired Lovie. Say what you want about Lovie. At least the Bears occasionally went to the play. At least they went to the playoffs with Lovie. You know,
that you see this year was the collapse that happened to Lovie that year.
I know, Yerk, but I mean, at least in 2005 and in 2006 and in 2011, we saw the Bears go to the playoffs a little bit. At least this is a joke.
I give Mellor all the credit in the world for coming up with Lovie Smith. The answer is, I mean, what motivates me more than a man with pants around his ankles? Coach Singletary.
All right.
I want Coach Singletary back.
Can't do it.
Bears.
Cannot win with them.
The good old number 50 Samurai Mike to take over on the sidelines. Drop your pants, sir, and motivate me, please.
Yeah, that whole thing, that never worked either, Coach Singletary. Yeah, he gave it the old Baylor try, but that ain't working in the NFL.
Cannot win with him.
All right.
Cannot coach with him.
No, can't do it.
Calm, real quickly, go to Jorge. He's got a good idea.
All right, Jorge's got a good idea. Merck says, where is Jorge? Line two.
Line two.
What up, Jorge?
How's it going, gentlemen?
What's up, man?
I'm a big fan. I just, how about Pat Fitzgerald?
Coach Fitz.
Coach Fitz.
How do I feel about Coach? Coach Fitz ain't leaving Northwestern. He'd be crazy, too. He's got too good a thing there. I don't know.
First of all, he just got the facilities the way he wants them. Yeah. He can finally recruit against the rest of the Big Ten.
Coach Fitz ain't leaving there. He's got it too good there.
Yeah, he's not.
Fitzgerald.
I don't think I do either. I mean, I wonder if Coach Fitz ever
six or seven win team.
I wonder if he's ever felt like a desire to try to give it a go in the NFL. You know, I mean, and it's hard to get he's so loyal to that school, and he's like. You know how you guys know how he is. Like, I think on the air, I don't think he'd give us an honest answer. I think you'd have to get him like totally. You'd have to get him a little liquored up, totally off the record one night, and see if he would tell you. Yeah, you know, I've been contacted by X, Y, and Z, and you know, maybe I've thought I'd like to know. Actually, there was a rumor that the Packers were going to call him a couple years ago before they hired LaFleur.
Yeah, if I was him, I'd make sure that you know, people would put it out there that yes. They're looking at him. Yes, he's interested. Yes, that way you can get a bigger contract with Northwestern.
I think Yurko hit on it. I think that's what the Packers rumor was a couple years ago before they hired Matt LaFleur.
Right, yeah.
Get his name in the mix, and all of a sudden you renegotiate a contract, you get a little bump.
I think he's happy there.
Wouldn't you be?
I would be.
The expectations are...
They're not great.
Minimal.
He still makes them competitive to a certain degree, you know, more than they've been in that really their entire existence, minus a few years here and there under Randy Walker and Gary Barnett. I mean, like, it's a perfect spot for Fitz, you know. He gets to be the rah-rah guy and motivate and you know, shape young mind. He loves all that stuff.
Win seven games a year and call it a...
And they go nuts for you. You win seven games a year and you're like, you're a hero. I don't know why you'd ever leave.
Now you got a practice facility right on the lakefront.
Exactly.
Look south at downtown Chicago.
Exactly. All right, more Bears calls coming up. Don't go anywhere. 312-332-3776. Plus, Orlovsky and Keyshawn this morning on the Bears and their struggles. We'll play some of that for you, some of that sound for you coming up.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bears Monday brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. Bears have lost three in a row. They are about a 2.5-point underdog for the game 1 week from tonight to wrap week 10. That'll be the Bears' 10th game, and they will host the Minnesota Vikings, who are playing a little bit better as of late, thanks to Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook has at least one touchdown in every game this year, and I think 10 of his last 11 going back to last season. That guy's a dynamo. He's a
horse.
He is a treat if you got him in fantasy, too. I had him last year in the league. I mean, I had he and McCaffrey because it was a dynasty league. I mean, they obviously won. I won my league going away.
Look at you, humble brag.
Yeah, man. I know. I'll humble brag it a little bit. I mean, that was too easy last year. It was almost unfair with those two. And McCaffrey was great yesterday. Now he's hurt again. McCaffrey got a shoulder injury.
If you saw the play, it was late in the fourth quarter. They ran just a little, like, no-yard route. It was, what a waste to hurt a guy on.
God, that sucks.
I mean, it was absolute garbage route coming out to the perimeter, just trying to widen out the defense, and they threw him the ball. He ends up trying to turn upfield to get a first down, gets tackled, and you could see the pain right away.
Yeah.
He gets up, he goes to the sideline, and he's trying to adjust the shoulder all the time. It looked like a shoulder separation to me. It's going to keep him out for a couple of weeks.
You could see on the sideline, you're right, you're like at the end of the game how much pain he was in. You could see
it
on his face.
Yeah, the AC joint, Carm. The AC joint has caused him some concern. It wasn't dislocated or anything, which is great. It
sucks.
But that shoulder separation, it's not fun to play with either.
You know what else sucks? The Bears and their offense. This was Keyshawn Johnson this morning on the morning show here on ESPN 1000, 5 to 7 before Cap and Jay Hood every morning, being a little critical of the Bears' performance.
Nick Foles. Is all they have. There's no Mitch Trubisky for the Bears.
Can't blame him anymore.
Can't blame him. But Matt Nagy, these so-called offensive guru types that hide behind successful head coaches and successful quarterbacks, and they get their head coaching jobs, and then they can't figure it out. Matt Nagy has not been able to figure it out since becoming the head coach of the Chicago Bears. He got the job because he was supposed to be an offensive specialist, coming from Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. What happened? It's horrible. They're hurting, wasting the defense again.
Yes, they are. Here's Dan Orlovsky with the guys this morning. Is Nagy's job on the line right now?
Oh, for sure. All eyes are on Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, their general manager. Listen, the
kind of the blame. You can't throw it at Mitchell Trubisky anymore, guys. And I remember all last year going, you're using Mitchell Trubisky the wrong way. You're using Mitchell Trubisky the wrong way. But Matt Nagy, this is what you wanted. This is the bed that you wanted to lay in. You wanted to run this offense that you learned from Andy Reid. You wanted to run this Kansas City Chiefs offense when it's the ball distribution at quarterback. This is the quarterback that you chose, and this is the style of ball that you wanted to play. It's on you now, because you can't blame the young Mitchell Trubisky failed draft pick anymore. And you can't tell me that Chicago's weapons are terrible. You can't. Allen Robinson is a good, solid player. Jimmy Graham's okay. Montgomery's a good, solid back. Anthony Miller's a good player. Mooney's a good player. Like, they've got decent skill players. And no, their offensive line's not great. But I've seen coaches mitigate bad offensive lines before. Matt Nagy's not doing that. And so all eyes, because the reality is this is a championship-level defense. This is a playoff-caliber defense. And right now they're sitting back watching their head coach and play caller fail them and going, you're not doing a good enough job. Because we've seen it with two different style of quarterbacks right now. We've seen the failure with an athletic young quarterback, and we've seen the failure with a pocket-passing play-action quarterback. Complete failure by Matt Nagy. And there's no one else to blame anymore. You can't bench the quarterback anymore. He's already there. So all eyes on Nagy and Ryan Pace.
Yeah, that kind of sums it up. Going back to Mitch, I really don't know what that would accomplish. He's hurt now anyway. This is their handpicked guy, and it's been arguably even worse. Dave's on the east side with Carmen and Yurko. What's up, Dave?
Morning. So what we got here is Trestman 1.5, because he's not Trestman 2.0, not even. So what we got here is a master of mismatches on his own team. It's a bunch of triangles trying to fit it into a circle. I just think the proof is in the pudding. We draft guys. We don't utilize them. It seems to me that Nagy just is, he's in over his head with the players he already got, but he wants to please the fans and the organization, which are his bosses, Pace as well. So they draft these guys in a hoping to get them to learn the offense. Then when they get here, training season starts before coronavirus, and they just leave him out of the picture because he just doesn't want to deal with it because he's in over his head. Cole Kmet, come on, man. This dude's a beast. Montgomery, he doesn't fit our scheme, and they're forcing it down our throats. He would be a 1,000-yard rusher in Tennessee. We don't have the offensive lineman. It's Pace. Pace and Nagy are what's wrong with the Bears. I don't want to get into ownership because, you know, it is what it is, you know. The Bears are going to be here with McCaskey.
That ain't changing, Dave. That's right. Yep. Yep. You can change the people running things, but yeah, the owner, that ain't changing. As bad as Mark Trestman was, Mark Trestman's first year, the Bears were top 10 in offense, guys. They were second in points.
Yeah, they were.
Matt Nagy wishes he could be in the top 10 in offense and second in points.
I mean, I want to tell Keyshawn Orlovsky, welcome to Chicago. A lot of that sentiment we heard there has already been heard here in the great city of Chicago. Thank you, gentlemen, for noticing. The other thing, Orlovsky said he was misusing Mitch Trubisky. What? Not many offensive coordinators come up with the one-option pass plan. I've never seen the one-option pass plan, but maybe Orlovsky knows it. Maybe he's very familiar with it because it's the offense he ran when he was in the league.
One option, one read.
Yeah, that's it. One read, that's it. That's where I'm going to go, and that's it. That's the offense you're going to run? Either way, I think the quarterbacking situation in Chicago is pitiful. Going into the offseason, you went with what you thought you were going to go with. Cam Newton wasn't going to be an answer. I'm sorry, guys. He's not the answer in New England.
No, he's not.
There weren't many answers out there. The veteran here, Phillip Rivers, would be getting killed behind his offensive line.
Oh, God, imagine.
Okay, so let's face where you're at. This is where you're at in Chicago. And it's not going to look good unless this defense can bail them out to finish 8-8. It just keeps looking worse and worse and worse and worse. This is not the team that started off in week one. This is a different team now. Different team, different players. Too many injuries. And there's guys around the league that are bouncing back. Maybe they're training them up better, Carmen. That would then still be an indication that your coaches aren't doing the job, your general manager's not doing the job in bringing the right talent in here. Either way, it's an indictment of whatever's going on right now with the Chicago Bears if they can't find a way to turn it around.
All right, we got
to
take a quick timeout. When we come back, more of your Bears thoughts and calls, 312-332-3776. What's going to save this season that's gone completely sideways?
Miracle.
With three straight losses now. It's Carmen and Yurko coming right back.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
God, how bad are the Bears? They've got us longing for the first year of Mark Trestman when the Bears were top 10 in offense.
Yeah.
I'm not really longing for the Mark Trestman. I shouldn't say that. That's slightly hyperbolic. But, I mean, geez. You look at that first year, eighth in yards, second in points. Oh, my God.
But you know what, Carm? Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt there before you even say a word. But, like, for me, as a football fan, now that you're in 2020, like, it feels like for the last 10 to 15 years, if you want to build a sustained winner, you need to build around your offense. Like, the defense, it's great to have a complementary defense that can help carry you and go farther. But the truth is, you've seen it. The Bears have put together top-class defenses.
Yeah, I know.
But the league is not built in a way for defenses to carry you unless you're, like, legendary.
Unless you have, like, a year the Bears had in 18 where you got all those takeaways, you score six touchdowns. Like, that stuff's not
and
sustainable.
Still, where did that get them?
It got them a loss in the first round of the playoffs.
Okay, how do you feel today if you're Seattle? You scored a ton of points out there, right? You gave up 44.
They can't stop anybody.
How do you feel like Seattle? Oh, I've got a great offense, but I go play that offensive juggernaut. Was Orenthal James Simpson in the backfield
yesterday?
Yeah, you
didn't know that? He came out and he played yesterday, didn't you know?
Seattle's got to be scratching.
And a touchdown.
Yeah, they've got to be scratching their heads, right?
Yeah,
but we got a good offense, but we went to Buffalo and we got our blank kicked in.
Yeah,
but you know what? Sign me up for the Seahawks run this year.
Yeah, I'll take the Seahawks.
I still think they have a shot to win a shootout in the playoffs, Yerk. The Bears, I don't know if they're getting to the playoffs.
Listen, the Bears don't have an offense that could participate in pop a shot, much less a shootout. You know what I'm saying? We get it. The Bears' offense is pitiful. But I'm saying even if you build your team the other way where you might have to outscore everyone, and we've seen that in the past also when you see Green Bay and Atlanta playing the playoffs and you've got yourself a 52-50 game. I mean, we've seen offensive shootouts. You know, sometimes you can take that and you can run it into the Super Bowl, but the team with the best balance –
yeah, I'll take
with the best ranked offense and the best ranked defense, usually the higher ones, like one might be fifth, the other one sixth, they're the ones that usually find a way to come out on top.
Balance is good.
Got to have balance, guys.
Got to have Tate.
I'd rather put up points, too. But if you were putting up points and losing games, you'd be equally as frustrated.
You know who was very big on balance was Mr. Miyagi.
Yes, very, very big. Did everybody watch Cobra Kai? Everybody all caught up?
No, I haven't watched it.
So
no.
Good.
No,
it's
no,
so
I don't
good.
Waste my time on television.
I don't know what that. I don't know what that means, but Cobra Kai is so good.
I watch sports, Carm.
I do too, but listen, Cobra Kai is worth your time. Trust me. Especially
where can I find that?
Netflix.
Oh, is that Netflix?
Yes.
Oh, I'm gonna
the third season comes out in January.
Okay. Put that on your DVD list. They'll send it to you, Merck.
Johnny Lawrence. I mean, it makes the show, boys. I'm telling you, it is so good. And you just—I won't say it. I don't want to give anything away for people that are still catching up. But
sweep the leg.
Something happens at the end of season two that. Got us all very excited about season three.
Oh, he doesn't sleep with his wife, does he, Carm?
No, he doesn't sleep with his wife.
His sister?
Let's just say, all through season two, you kept getting this feeling. Now, if you've watched it or you're watching it, you know what I'm talking about here. You keep wondering, like, is Elizabeth Shue going to show up, man? Because they keep kind of hinting, and then something happens at the end of season two.
Nice.
Oh, I think Elizabeth Shue is going to make an appearance in season three. Yurko, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I have a feeling, yeah.
Oh,
both
God.
Heads come up from under the blanket.
No, Yurko, stop it.
What's going on?
Oh, my God. Let's go to somebody had a question for Yurko. Where was it? Oh, Marcus. Hold on. Let's go to our buddy Marcus in Minneapolis. He's got a question for the good kid. What up, Marcus?
What's going on, guys?
How are you, man?
Hey, man, I appreciate you taking my call every time.
Sure.
I know I always say it, but I really do appreciate it. Yurko, I had a question for you as an ex-NFL player.
Yeah.
I asked this to Howard Griffin on a post-game show last night, but I wanted to get different opinions. So can you kind of put us like paint a picture for us on how it goes during a weekend practice? Because my thing was when I'm watching specifically screenplays, but I guess we can say any play pretty much.
The screens are, Marcus. The screens.
Yeah, but the screens are awful.
Oh, God, they're awful.
How does a team practice plays during a week? Because I told Howard Griffin, the way the Bears run screens, if I was the head coach, I would make them run it 100 times until they get it right. There's no way they can be running these screen plays in practice and going to the game thinking that they're good at it. Like, how do they practice it during a week? Do they just do a walkthrough, or are they actually running it against, you know, a defense? Or how does that work?
You're not as physical. Listen, you're not as physical during the week.
Thanks, okay? Marcus.
So Monday, usually you take a look at the film. Tuesday's the day off. Wednesday, they come in and it's installation. You got to walk through usually at noon before you go to lunch. Then you head up to the field. Once you're on the field, it breaks down in individual work. Then you bring it together and you do all O-line, D-line. The running backs get together with the linebackers or something like that. Wide receivers go with the defensive backs and they do some work against each other like that. But like that early portion is also for installation, and the walkthrough at the beginning is for installation before lunch. So that's where you're doing all your installation. But then you go through what you have. There's a 9-on-7 period where you're working on inside runs. There's a blitz period where you go through picking up blitzes and how you're going to go and adjust against blitzes and what you're looking for and checking out of certain looks that you get where you think there's going to be a blitz. And it's an offensive period where you're going against scouts, and it's a defensive period where you're going against offensive scouts. Okay. You've got a 4-minute that you run during the week. You got a 2-minute that you're running during the week. You're putting all those situations together. But in installation, when you're installing, if you haven't run some plays regularly, then you walk through those plays. But when practicing, you are going trying to work at the fastest speed possible without getting anybody hurt. And you usually don't have pads on during the week.
Can they spend like one whole day just working on screens, or would that be a waste of time?
Well, you can, Carm. There's 1,000 different screens.
I mean, they're terrible, Yurk. They can't.
Yeah, they're no good at running their screens. I agree.
You know what I mean? This franchise has never been good at running screens.
No, if you remember, the Packers were great at it.
Great.
With Favre, they were great at running screens. How many pictures do you remember in the early 90s of Chris Zorich in hot pursuit of Edgar Bennett running to the end zone?
Please. I mean, they were great. You're right, Yurk. And it was through different running backs. It was whether it was Bennett or Dorsey or Amon Green or who's the kid from Notre Dame? Ryan Grant. Like they did, with everybody, they could just run screens.
Yeah, and not the slip screen, wide receiver screen. We're talking about the classic old school screen to a running back.
Yes.
My favorite was you faked it left, you faked it right, and you hit your tight end right over the middle.
Yeah.
It's one of the best screens out there. Everybody's scattering, the middle of the field opens, and you go. But you got to make it look like a pass. It's got to look like a pass. You can't dismiss the defensive lineman too quickly because he knows, I never get to the quarterback this quick. Something's wrong, you know?
Right.
When something happens that's not normal, you know, if you're used to beating a guy like 2 seconds in, then you've got to wait 2 seconds and then let the guy get by you, preferably to the inside. That way you can get to the outside and start setting some blocks for your guy. I saw a screen yesterday, 3 blockers out there. The one guy blocked somebody and the 2 others missed and the screen was blown half to hell.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, not good.
Tim's and Downers on ESPN 1000. Hey, Tim.
Hey, boys. So I gave up. I was on a golf course yesterday. I was not going to waste my Sunday watching that team again.
Good for you.
Because I'm done with Matt Nagy. Yeah. Shot 41 on the front, Yurko. You'd be happy.
Nice.
43 on the back for Johnny Hansen the other day.
You guys put your scores together.
Coupled with a Dick Butkus on the front side.
Well, I'll tell you what. Nagy, he has ruined Mitchell Trubisky's career. He never took the handcuffs off this kid. All we heard at the beginning of last year was he had to become a pocket passer. That's nonsense. None of these young quarterbacks are pocket passers. All these young quarterbacks run with their legs. Everyone talks about one read. The kid never had any time to go through a read progression. Kid's getting his head ripped off. I mean, let the kid use his legs. Let the kid rip the ball down the field. All these dunk and dink passes, all these wide receiver screens, all these predictable plays. I mean, come on, you guys sit there. My brother and I sit there and watch the game. We call every play. You know what's coming? It's horrible.
This guy has ruined
Trubisky.
Thanks,
the
Tim.
The horizontal passing game is brutal.
It is. A lot of people think Trubisky is going to be the next Tannehill. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I still think, believe it or not, Tannehill looked better in some of his years in Miami than Trubisky ever did. I got to be honest. I just don't see it with Mitch. I don't.
Listen, he's going to get a chance.
He will.
Somebody's going to take a flyer on him.
You think somebody will take a chance on him to be a starter, though, Yurk, or just purely as a backup?
No, I think they'll bring him in to play quarterback. And then the way it is in this league, most quarterbacks get hurt and he'll get a chance to play. I don't think anybody will bring him in and saying he's the answer.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. But you're right, because of the attrition that naturally happens at that position, he's going to get a chance somewhere. We'll try to breeze through as many of your Bears calls as we can when we come back next. Greeny's up at noon. Waddle and Sylvie return at 2, and then Black and Abdallah tonight at 6.
And Carm, we have a big announcement. We have a special giveaway we're going to
give. Yeah, let's we'll make that announcement next, right? Yeah. It's on our Instagram story. If you follow us there, at Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on Instagram. I'm at Carmen DeFalco, and the number 5 Yurko is at it's at Ivan Yurkovich, right, Yurk, on Insta?
Yeah,
that's what I thought. At Ivan
or Yurkovich Ivan, one of the two.
One of the two.
You'd have to take a look at it.
You'll find the good kid. Don't worry about it. But yeah, we've got a giveaway that we will tell everybody about coming up next, and we'll breeze through some more Bears calls before Greeny takes over at noon. We'll be right back.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Miss something? The podcast, is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
Now, if you watch our Twitch channel, you should watch it each and every day, twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app, search ESPN 1000 Chicago. Merck, I understand some people were upset that I gave something away when I was referencing the end of season 2 of Cobra Kai. I didn't give anything away. And trust me, I could. Because the final episode of season 2 is unbelievable. All I said was, I think Elizabeth Shue is showing up in season 3. That's all I said. That's not That's giving anything away.
I said something about people in bed together.
So pipe down. Yeah, yours.
And you know what they were doing? They were doing the Flying Lotus.
That's exactly what they
were doing. By the way, Carm, this week Twitch is brought to you by Templeton Rye Whiskey.
The good stuff. Templeton Rye. All right. Yeah, check us out on Twitch. We're hanging in the studio, the first Midwest Bank State Street Studios. It's Bears Monday. Brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. Real quick, before I return to the phones, Merck, tell everybody about the contest. If you saw the Instagram story this morning, I made mention of it. Make sure you follow the show on Insta, at Carmen DeFalco. Follow the station at ESPN underscore Chicago on Instagram. A lot of great stuff there. But what's the contest?
So we all remember how great The Last Dance was. 10 episodes were phenomenal. We miss them. It was awesome. But we have three box sets, Blu-ray of The Last Dance to give away.
Nice.
Okay, and they will be given away tomorrow. They'll be, the winners we picked tomorrow night at 8 p.m.
Okay.
All right. All you have to do to get in on this is text Last Dance to 31996.
That's it. Text Last Dance
31996.
31996. That's pretty simple. That's all they have to do.
That's right.
That's all they have to do.
You could win. That's
you have a chance to win.
Very good. Three different Blu-rays. Last Dance gift packs to give away. Let's go to, where do we want to go here? I'm going to go, let's go to Rod in Lockport. What's up, Rod?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Great, how are you?
Good. Hey, I just want to know, and I'll hang up and listen to my answer. What is the difference between 2018 and now?
I don't disagree. I kind of know what you're hinting at here, Rod. The offense was never very good. Now, it was better than this. But that's because nobody really had much on Matt Nagy. He didn't call plays a whole heck of a lot that last year in Kansas City. It was just about 5 or 6 games. He was a little bit of an unknown. This league catches on fast, doesn't it, Yurk?
Yeah, it does. But also, I think the answer could be Vic Fangio.
Oh, I thought he was okay.
He asked a general question.
Okay,
that could be taken any way one wants to take.
Okay,
you went offensive. I went defensive.
Yeah,
I went with Vic Fangio, not part of this defense, not calling defenses the way he did. And you'd have to say the personality of this defense is different with Chuck Pagano in charge, is it not?
Yeah.
It is. It's a different defense with Chuck Pagano in charge than when Vic Fangio's in charge. And a lot of people sit there and they note that and say, hey, take a look. This was once a dominant defense. It's less dominant. Still good defense, but not as dominant as it once was.
That's fair. Matt Nagy's first year, that 18 campaign, the Bears were still in the bottom third of the league in yards.
Yeah.
The only reason they were ninth in scoring is, we all know the only reason, they had 6 defensive touchdowns.
Yes.
Their defense had 36 takeaways and put them in one advantageous position after another week in and week out. 36 takeaways and 6 defensive touchdowns. That's the only reason they were ninth in points.
Yeah, probably a couple of special teams touchdowns there too, Carm. So now you're looking at, 48 points?
Yeah, there you go. I mean, yeah,
56, if you include the extra point that comes with that. So you take those 56 points away. How many points a game are that?
It's a good point, Yerk. In total offense, they were still bottom third.
Yeah.
Let's go to George in Old Town. I think he wants to go off the Bears board. That's fine. What's up, George?
Hey, guys. Nice call on Dallas there, Carmen. You were really right on that.
There
I
you
appreciate
go.
That.
No problem. My pleasure.
I've got a little Festivus grievance for your boy who follows you, Greeny. I mean, He anointed Tampa Bay as the team in the NFC to go to the semifinals. That is does he have deranged syndrome? Look at New Orleans. They've got six receivers, three running backs, three quarterbacks, offensive line, defensive line. Do you guys agree that we should be anointing New Orleans?
I don't think we should anoint anybody in the NFC right now. I got to be honest, George, but I get your point. I mean, right. it's too weak. This league is crazy. And look, Tampa's a lot better than what they showed last night. I'm pretty sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints have figured him out this year. What, he's got five picks against the Saints, Yerk? He's got like two against everybody else, right?
Right. Yes.
So I don't know. I mean,
your top five AFC teams, I think, are better than your first NFC team.
You might be right about that. Now,
yeah, I mean, that's the way it's starting to kind of roll out a little bit. You know, if you take a look at it,
would the Saints be my favorite in the NFC right now? They're going to play in their building. They got a beat on that now after that win, so that's good for them. You know, another Seahawks loss. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of still all up. I would look at the Packers are good because there's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and the Bucks handled them. Remember, they housed them.
That's true. They did house them. Good point.
There's no, like, clear-cut favorite. The Packers, the Saints, the Bucks,
The Seahawks. Maybe the Rams. Maybe. I doubt it. I'm not a big Goff fan. I'm not big enough on Goff to...
The Cardinals are interesting.
Interesting, although...
More so than the Rams, to me.
They lose games at home like they did yesterday, and you're like,
But I think it's those four, right? The Saints, the Bucks, the Packers, and the Seahawks.
I think so.
But with the quarterbacks.
I think you're right, yeah. Boy, is Kyler Murray good. It wasn't his fault yesterday. Let's go to George in West Chicago. What's up, George? I'm sorry. This is Raphael in Joliet. What's up, Raphael?
Hey, guys. So I listen to you guys all the time. I don't remember what show came out of, but the question was asked, why doesn't Pagano blitz more? He has a big history of blitzing, and the answer given was he doesn't want to give up a big play to kind of put the game away. So my question to Yurko or anyone is really, should Pagano just be like, F it, I need to create more turnovers, I need to blitz more since the offense is going to hold their end of the bargain?
Yeah, his theory is he'd rather die of a thousand cuts than, you know, one great stab wound. So that's the way that he likes to do it. I think extreme pressure puts an inordinate amount of stress on a quarterback, but you've got to be able to change it up also. Ideally, in my world, if I could play defense – and I can get to the quarterback with four people, that's how I want to get to the quarterback.
Right, that's always the best, right, Yerk?
But you got to change it up every once in a while to give those guys a little bit of a break, and you got to bring the funk every once in a while.
The Bears still have, like, to your point about he'd rather die, like, by those, like, little cuts instead of the big one. I mean,
sure. They
seem to be that whole, you know, 20-20. They don't care if the opposition moves the ball that much, but they are good in the red zone. They're number one still, Yerk, in red zone, and they're like 7-8 percentage points better than the next closest team. I mean, teams aren't even scoring 42% of the time against the Bears in the red zone, not scoring touchdowns. So, like, they're really good there. They're still really good on third down. They're number one, actually. They've overtaken Baltimore, Yerk. So they've got the number one third down defense, the number one red zone defense. You know, it should all be good enough for you to win. They don't blitz a lot here. I'll even tell you their blitz percentage. Hold on. I know it's not going to be very high, I don't think. The Bears, the only teams that blitz less than the Bears are the Colts, the Raiders, the Panthers, and the Chargers. So they don't blitz a lot. They really don't. Their pressure percentage is not probably where you'd like to see it either.
And, right.
You know, because it's down in the bottom third. They like to think they can get all the pressure they need with just the four. But I don't know. There's still some really good metrics on this Bears defense. And they gave up 17 points yesterday against a really good offense on the road.
Extreme pressure on quarterbacks, that's sometimes when you get the silly throws, too.
Yeah, like Brady last night, right?
Yeah.
That was extreme pressure. Yerk, great stuff. See you tomorrow, buddy.
All right, buddy.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening and calling and interacting. The Bears are going to drive us nuts now for a full week before they play Monday night against the Vikings. We'll do it again tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. Greeny is next. Waddle and Sylvie up at 2. Bleck and Abdallah after that. Thanks to Midway Jeff Meller and Randy Merkin. And we'll see you tomorrow, folks.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
Well, I don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia!